out of all the channels that God could have chosen for us to be saved, He has chosen on our part, not that we have anything to do with our salvation, but to get plugged into the salvation that is available through Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed on Calvary and the power of His resurrection. The only way you can do that is by faith. By faith. That's the only way you can be saved. By grace through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man would come to God and try to plead some other way. It doesn't work that way. It takes faith. Now, today, for those of you that are visiting, there's some things that happen in our services that are maybe a little different from what you're accustomed to. And I hope maybe to explain some of that this morning, because I really don't need to explain it. But yet we're in a world that's filled with questions today. This is the way I was raised. This is the kind of church I was raised in. I'm not against any other church, the way they worship. But you may wonder, you know, here a while back, my wife and I was talking to someone, and they said, they were asking about the church. They said, well, what kind of a church are you? And I said, well, we're a community church. And they said, well, what's that mean? And I was trying to explain to them. I don't even know what it means. And here I am trying to explain to them what it means. It just means we come and we worship the Lord, and Jesus is first in all things. And we believe you get right. That means you're saved. And we believe you live right. And you do what's right. You do it all to please Him. And they finally, they come around that way. They said, well, do they have any, do y'all have any of those shout outs? And I was kind of ignorant. I didn't know that term. I said, well, what do you mean? I said, you know, where people just scream for no apparent reason. And I said, no, we don't. They said, oh, well, I heard you had screaming goes on there. I said, oh, I didn't mean that. I mean, there's an apparent reason for it. You just don't see. You don't see the reason. And we are at a time where people are trying to say, if I can see it, I'll believe it. Well, you got a problem with that, because you're not going to see with these eyes the invisible God. You see Him by faith. Hebrews 11:27 says, by faith He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for He endured as seeing Him who is invisible. How do you see an invisible God? Well, I think some of the answers to that's found in the book of Romans. If you'll turn there, let me read a few verses to you. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I want to read these verses, and I'll try to correlate as many as I can this morning, and Lord willing, finish them up on this evening maybe. But Romans chapter 1, verse 17, just so that you'll know, he's talking about the same things that I'm trying to deal with this morning. He's saying, by faith you see God who is invisible. For no man hath seen God at any time, referring to these eyes. We couldn't stand the glory of God in this body. That's why we have to have a glorified body. Just to get a glimpse of Him passing by would cause our face to shine. But yet, God wants us to know Him personally and know about Him. The Bible says in Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Now here it is again. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by what? Faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Now watch this verse. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Let me stop reading there because I know that's going to take me farther than I have time to preach this morning. God will have no one else to be equal to Him in power. He is supreme. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He is the ruler of the universe. He is the creator of your life and sustainer of your life. He is the God of all miracles. He is the God of the past, the present, and the future. His power cannot be contained in any way. His glory cannot be described as much as we try to describe Him. He is indescribable. There is no way to be able to really say everything that you can say about God. But yet, in the Bible, I think that we're at a time where now the world is crying out because of the intellectual environment that we're in. They are crying out, how can you explain God to me? Well, I don't want to offend you, but God never sets out to explain Himself in the Bible. God never wants to explain. Nowhere in the Bible will you read, and God explained who He was to anybody. God doesn't explain Himself. He doesn't have to explain Himself. He's God, and beside Him there's none other. He's God if you believe He's God. He's God if you don't believe He's God. He's still God. He's still in control, and you cannot explain Him. So those that are now retreating to Gnosticism, which basically that says, the more intellect you have, the more that you know, and the more that you know intellectually, the better you'll be equipped to embrace God. So the more that you learn, and the more educated you become, the more you're equipped to embrace God. In other words, if you can get closer to explaining God, you'll know more about God and you'll think you're better than everybody else because you know what nobody else knows. The only problem with that is, I read to you from Romans, God says by faith, God says when our faith comes, faith to faith, it is not to receive an explanation from God. God never sets out to explain Himself. God sets out to reveal Himself. Because you can't explain someone that is unexplainable. You can't do it. I can't explain to you how God is in my heart and your heart and all around the world. I can't explain that. I don't care. I can take the Word of God and show you how it's true, but yet I can't explain that to you. And the reason God has chosen to use the means of faith is if it was intellect, like Gnostics and intellectuals teach and preach and educate, if it was that way, that would say, what about the person come judgment day that is incompetent mentally? It would be based on your IQ. In other words, the higher your IQ, the more you could learn of God and know of God. And that's not true. That wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't be just. We serve a just God. Boy, it's quiet right now. It's okay. Think about what I'm saying. We serve a just God. We do. And what would happen if it was just merely on your intellect? If you could add 1 + 1 + 1 and figure it out and say, oh, this is the way God works and this is the way God operates and I know what He's going to do next. And you reach that point intellectual in life. What about the person that is incompetent? Even our jury system today and legal system will not try a man or woman that is not competent to be judged. Why would God do that? The person of lesser intellect then, if it was just merely through knowledge alone and intellect alone that a person could have God revealed in their life through their intellect some way, then somebody could die lost and go to hell and say, I went to hell because I didn't understand. God says, so I'm not going to base it on you understanding who I am. I'm going to base it on you believing who I am. And as I reveal myself to you, it will be from faith to faith. Now, right back to where I started in the beginning, because some of you are saying, where is he going with all of this? You may wonder why we have shout outs here. You may never have done that in your life, and that's fine. You can sit there and worship God the rest of your life and never do that and go to the same heaven. I'm going to. Doesn't mean that because I'm loud and because I shout, because people do the same, that we're more spiritual than what you are. But I'm going to explain to you. Do you want to know why? See, we can have a song that somebody is singing. Or a sermon could be preached. I'm preaching about one thing. They're singing about something else. Today they were singing. Did I mention that I love Him? Did I mention that He's faithful? They weren't even thinking about the song. What? See, you don't know what's going on. While they're singing that song, the mind of that person, maybe they're in the middle of a dilemma where they have a loved one that is sick, a loved one that they can't find a cure for, a problem that they can't solve. They can be singing about one thing, and God suddenly reveals something else about Himself to them. And when God reveals something to them, they just can't help it. They've got to express the revelation of God inside of them. They can't tell you what they're shouting about, maybe. They can't tell you what they're rejoicing about. It's just that something that they have wondered about. God said, in My mercy and in My grace, I'm going to reveal that to you and show Myself in control in this matter. And when God reveals that, you don't know how you'll act. It's about revelation. God reveals Himself in different ways. In Romans, one of the ways that He reveals Himself is through what we call natural revelation. What's natural revelation? Well, I read to you, He's revealing Himself through creation. He talks about creation in the text that I read to you in the book of Romans, dealing with the fact that He's saying this to you. He's saying, do you know that even if you didn't have a Bible, you can still know there's a God? Now, if revelation just started when the Bible was written and completed, less than 2,000 years is all that man would have revelation of God. But that's not true. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Job didn't have a Bible to turn to. Are you with me today? Job didn't have a Bible to turn to, but yet Job said, one day I stumbled upon a tree stump. And it was dead. And at the sin of water, it began to sprout and grow. Do you know God took a tree stump that looked dead with new life coming out of it to teach Job about the resurrection? The heavens declare the glory of God. I don't care if you've never read a verse of Scripture. God says, when you step outside on a starry night and look into the heavens and you see all the stars that are there, when you cross this country and look at all the beauty that is there, when you come upon the beautiful scenes of nature and see what God has made with His majestic hands, you've got to say to yourself, somebody's got to be responsible for this. Somebody's got to be in control of all of this. He said, before they even knew there was a law, He said, I taught them that I was there. I'm the one in control of all of this. I'm the one that has it all in the hollow of My hand. And the same God that created it all says, I've got you in the hollow of My hand. Isn't it good to know we're in His hand? He is the potter and we are the clay. Thank God my bills are in His hand. My life are in His hands. My loved ones are in His hands. My home is in His hands. This church is in His hands. My ministry is in His hands. I'm telling you, there's something about knowing that you're in the hand of Almighty God. He uses creation. He uses words and metaphors. The tiniest of words. The smallest of things. Why does He do that? Well, God says, I'm trying to take what you see to help explain Myself or reveal Myself, brother, to you, because I can't explain Myself to reveal Myself that you can't see. I'm going to take something that you do see. I'm going to take something that you do understand to explain something that you don't understand. Therefore, God says, I reveal Himself to everybody on every level of life, regardless of your walk of life, regardless of your education, regardless of your background. He said, I will reveal Myself unto you. Even though the whole world is aware that we preach and teach about God, it doesn't mean anything till He's your God. Till you fall in love with Him. You've heard those metaphors, all the things that He used through Scripture. For example, to the artist, He's the altogether lovely one. To the architect, He's the chief cornerstone. We could say to the astronomer, He's the bright and the morning star. To the baker, He's the bread of life. To the banker, He's the hidden treasure. To the builder, He's a sure foundation. To the doctor, He's a great physician. To the educator, He's a great teacher. To the farmer, He is the incorruptible seed and the Lord of the harvest. To the florist, He is the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. To the geologist, He's the rock of ages. To the gardener, He's the true vine and we're the branches. To the lawyer, He's a righteous judge. To a juror, He's a faithful witness. To the jeweler, He's the pearl of great price. To the philosopher, He's the sum of all wisdom. To the student, He's incarnate truth. To the sinner, He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. To the child of God, He is our Redeemer, our Savior, and our Lord. He says that I take the everyday events of your life and turn it around so that you'll know that I am God. I'm revealing Myself to you. That's why some of you didn't get a revelation, but you sat by somebody today that got a revelation, and when they jumped up and hooped and hollered, you didn't have a clue what they were hooping and hollering about, that all of a sudden goosebumps run up your back. I remember when Josh was having surgery on Tuesday, I mentioned, I remember when Josh came to this church. On the way out, he shook my hand. I said, thank you, it's good to have you. He and Carrie just started dating at that point, and he was from Tennessee, I said, I hope you enjoyed yourself. He said, well, to be honest, y'all scared me a little bit. Can you imagine a guy that big being scared? He said, but I like it. And he kept coming, and now, isn't it something? Here's a guy that didn't know about any of that, and he does it more than just about any of us. Revelation. See, you're going through things right now, and that's what you're saying in life. Why am I at this place, and Lord, I can't see any good in any of it? But God says, through the natural things of life, I will reveal Myself to you. You know He's God in the depth of your heart, even as a believer sometimes. That's why He said, from faith to faith. You had faith to be saved, but now you're in the middle of a trial and you need more faith. You need a different kind of faith. Faith to believe God for this just as much as you believe God for that. I got an email just before I came to service this morning. I rarely open up my email. Opened up the email and there was a precious couple that they're way up in years. Way up in years. And they had driven about, I don't know, an hour and a half or 2 hours to be in that service. And I preached in that service how God still performs miracles and reveals Himself to us through miracles that He performs. Now, I don't have to have the miracle to believe He's God. But that just reveals Himself even greater when the miracle comes. And they said, you know, you were talking about that. And said, I just had to write and let you know this morning, preacher. Said, God gave us a miracle that night. And he said, you probably saw us shouting and carrying on, and you may have wondered what was happening. I didn't wonder what was happening because God had revealed Himself to them some way. Service was over, and I heard the office carrying on ever was, like it is around here sometimes. Before church, that happens. After church, that happens. In Sunday school, that happens. God doesn't stop being God at 11 o'clock. Said, we didn't get a chance to tell you. Said, but my wife had an aunt whom she hadn't seen since she was 8 years old. She's elderly. You can imagine how old her aunt is. And she kept saying all through the service, said, that woman up there looks so familiar to me. And after service, she made a beeline to her. started talking to her, her aunt, that she had been disconnected for 60 or 70 years from her aunt. Neither one knew either one was coming to church that night. Neither one went to that church. She couldn't hardly remember what her aunt looked like. Didn't have a picture, didn't have anything to go on. But all of a sudden, God brought them to the same service on the same night. And something inside of her said, "That lady looks familiar to you." And that was her aunt. No wonder they shouted and carried on. If you had prayed for all of those years to be reunited, what do you think you would do when God answered your prayer? He reveals Himself. Can I give you an example of what I'm saying? A group that I was with this week came to me after service, and he's been a dear friend for years. I've been in many meetings with him. He came over and he said, "Preacher, while you were preaching," said, I don't know if I ever shared this with you, but did I ever tell you about my grandfather?" And I said, "No, you haven't." He said, "Well, my grandfather," and I'd say that, you know, he's probably in his 70s, mid-70s. So his grandfather was in the era of time that you've got to put him in the right time frame to understand what's happening. He said, "My grandfather was born with a horrible deformity. Growths on his face. And the growth got so big that he was stooped over. And during the area that he lived, the era of time that he lived in, when you had a deformity like that, people didn't understand it and they were ashamed." And basically he said, "My grandfather was sent out in life to fend for himself," and said no one would take him into school, no one would educate him. And finally they gave him a job back then of cleaning the streets. And he said, "That's what my grandpa did all of his life. Faithful, never missed a day of work." He said, "People wouldn't do that today. But he had to do it to eat and survive." He said, "My grandpa was so stooped over and feeble." And he said, "Boys were boys back then." And he said, "There wasn't anything like harassment or anything like that. You just did what you wanted to with people that were abnormal in society." And he said, "Every day those boys would come out there and they would curse my grandpa and they would throw rocks at him and make fun of him." Said he'd come in the end of the day and bruises all over him where they'd throw rocks at him, make fun of him. Nobody stop him. He was the laughing stock of their little village that they lived in. He said, "My grandpa got way up in years," and said, "One day I was talking to him and said, 'Do you know they may be able to do something to help you with that?' And he said, 'Well, I've lived this way all my life, but the pain was getting worse, the growths were getting more, and it was distorting his neck more, and he had more pain. So finally, because of the unbearable pain, he agreed to go, and they sent him on to a specialist.' And he said, they ran the test and said the day came when a doctor stepped in the room. And he told him, said, 'Sir, we can do some surgeries and correct every bit of this.' And he said, 'Well, when I was young, they told me they could never do anything with it.' He said, 'Yeah, but we've got medical tools now that I assure you it's safe.' Said, 'We can take care of all of this.' And the old man said, 'Well, that's good.' He said, 'But I'm old.' And he said, 'I've swept streets all of my life and I'm retired now.' And he said, 'I don't have any money. I couldn't pay for anything like that.' That doctor started crying. He said, 'Oh, it's on the house. It's free of charge.'" And he said, "Free of charge?" He said, "You can't make a living like that, son. It can't be free of charge." He said, "Well, it is. It's free of charge." And the doctor looked at him and he said, "I'm one of those boys that used to throw rocks at you. And I have prayed my whole life since I got saved that God would allow me to meet you one more time. Because I want to tell you I'm sorry. And if you would forgive me, I would count it an honor to do this surgery free of charge. And it doesn't make up for all the wrong that I've done, but I am so sorry. And would you please let me do this?" They did the surgery, and it was a complete success. But you know, that's the way we are when God reveals Himself to us. We live our whole life and trample His name under our foot. We go on living as though He doesn't even exist. And we don't care about the things of God. And here He's given us this beautiful nature around us. He's given us these wonderful metaphors. But we just keep going on like He doesn't exist. And He's not there. But then in His mercy and grace, He allows us to come and there by faith reach out to Him and say, I am so sorry. I'm the one, Lord, that's thrown rocks at You. I'm the one that should deserve to die in guilt and shame. But in His mercy and grace, He picks us up, makes us a new creature in Christ, dusts us off, and then we can say, I'll live for You to tell.